Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, Alma Mentor, who was such a beloved mother and grandmother and great-grandmother and such a friend to so many in this community and in our congregation here. But when we gather together for a funeral service like this, as Christians, we gather as those who have hope. We mourn and we grieve, but we know that because Alma belonged to Christ and because we belong to Christ, we're going to see her again. And we are so looking forward to that happy reunion in heaven. And so that is something for us to celebrate today, even as we gather for a funeral. Everything that you're going to need for the service is printed for the most part in this green service folder. Hopefully you picked one up on your way in. The words to the hymns, however, will be found in the burgundy-colored hymnals in front of you in your pew. And we will begin today with our first hymn. It's number 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. You may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Alma was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We continue now by speaking the words of Psalm 121 responsively. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Alma and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes from St. Peter's first letter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're now going to sing the 23rd Psalm in hymn form. We're going to sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." It's hymn number 710.
Thank you.
Our second reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, having heard God's word, we'll join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same words that Alma shared with us many times right here in this sanctuary. This morning, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed, and if you need those words, they are printed on the back flap of the hymnal for you. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm going to invite the ladies' aid to remain standing and everyone else to be seated. At this time, we are going to sing our next hymn, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's our tradition here at Trinity that when one of the former members of our ladies' aid passes away, the current members will stand and lead us in song. Now, they're not going to sing by themselves, so we're going to ask the whole congregation to sing together, but these ladies will remain standing as we do so. So hymn number 770. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. To the family and friends of Alma Mentor, to those of you who are gathered here today to celebrate her long life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Mike and Chris and Jim, and all the grandkids and great-grandkids, Alma's beloved family. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, right before Alma went into the hospital for the last time, I was having one of those moments where I was a little bit distracted, mainly by what was on my phone, actually. I was paying closer attention to what was on my phone rather than what was going on around me, as people tend to do from time to time. In this particular situation, it was my wife, Katie, who was having a conversation with me, and I was sort of half paying attention to that conversation and half engrossed in this other conversation I was having with my thumbs on my phone. And eventually she figured out that she didn't have my full attention, so she just kind of says, "Hey, who's texting you?" And I said, I finished what I was typing, I looked up and I said, "It's Alma." And she said, "Wait, Alma? You mean like Alma Mentor? She knows how to text?" I said, "Oh yeah, we text all the time. We're great buddies." You know, I never really thought about it that deeply. But now in these last few days since she's passed, I've had some time to reflect upon the things that I really appreciated about Alma. And I think the fact that she was willing to text her pastor regularly updates about how she was doing, I think that's really up toward the top for me. And here's why. Because when our dear 95-year-old Alma would send you a text message, it didn't really matter what the words of the text said, because every text she sent really meant this. It meant that she cared about you. It meant that as she sat in the quietness and the stillness of her house, in between the time she would spend in prayer and devotion and the time that she would spend trying to figure out what piece goes next in the jigsaw puzzle on the card table in her living room, she would spend the rest of that time thinking a lot about the people that she loved. Her friends, her family, her pastor. She spent a lot of time thinking and keeping track of everybody. And, you know, it would have been completely understandable and reasonable if at her age she had decided that it wasn't worth getting an iPhone and learning how to send a text message. If she had decided that wasn't worth the trouble, we would have understood. But if you know Alma, you know that it didn't bother her to learn. And she wasn't going to back down from a challenge. And if she thought for a second that by putting in a little bit of extra time and effort on her part, it was going to make things easier or more convenient or take a burden away from someone on the other end, she was absolutely all about it. She was always trying to figure out ways to take care of the people who were supposed to be taking care of her. I'm sure Sandy has a lot that she can say about that. She took care of the caretakers. That was really, really special about her. For myself, as I think back on the tons of conversations that we had over the last 5+ years, I often felt like I was the one who was getting the most benefit out of the time that we spent together and the visits that we had. You know, there were times when I would go over to her house and maybe I was in the middle of something, there's lots going on in this busy ministry here at Trinity, or maybe I'm just stressed out for whatever reason, and just the way that Alma was able to talk about those things with me gave me sometimes a different perspective on it. And often I would leave the house feeling a whole lot better than I did when I first arrived. And here I was. I was supposed to be, in a way, taking care of her by bringing her God's word and bringing her the Lord's Supper and praying with her. But what I found out was the Holy Spirit had placed her there to take care of me. And I know a lot of people here have felt that way over the years as well. I remember when I started to realize how much Alma meant to her family and to this whole community. I remember the moment that it started to click for me. It didn't take very long, but it was probably that first summer after I moved here to town, and Alma had that 90th birthday party over at the Red Room, the community building. And, you know, you can see the photo board, if you hadn't seen it already, the big 90 over there, we still have it. And, of course, the whole thing was baseball-themed, because the Cardinals really meant a lot to Alma, you know. And I just remember the room was packed, and there was, like, a whole line of people who wanted to speak with her. And she was never one to want to really be in the spotlight, but that day she had an opportunity to talk with all of these people, and I know she saw it as a way to serve them, to find out what's going on with them, to catch up with them, to see how can I take care of them. That's what really was important to her on that day. And we talked about it even afterwards. And you can just kind of see how that thread wove its way through her life. Speaking of the Cardinals, I did hear, and that we have the little jersey over there, I did hear that in 1945 she was elected by her classmates most likely to be the Cardinals' bat girl. And what does a bat girl do, or what would a bat girl do? She would have loved that job, by the way. Take care of the team. Right? That's exactly what she would have loved to do. And I think about the stories I've heard when her mother and her husband were sick and nearing the end of their lives right around the same time, and how difficult it was to be taking care of them both simultaneously, and how well of a job she did. I think about things I've heard about taking care of the family as you guys all grew up. I heard about how she loved to take care of this community. And one of the ways that she did that was she had a file on pretty much everybody she knew. Not because she was trying to be nosy, but it was filled with her notes and newspaper clippings and all kinds of things, because that was her way of keeping track of folks and knowing what to pray for and really just taking care of everyone. She loved the Adopt-a-Student program at the seminary. And I remember I was there just over 10 years ago, and I remember that program being a blessing to me. People just like Alma would support me and with their prayers, with their finances. I know how much that meant to me, but I'm sure nobody is surprised in this room to hear that she took that to the next level too. Because I would talk to her about the different men that she had supported over the years that had gone through the seminary, and she knew every single thing about every single one of these guys. She knew where they were and what was going on with their families, and as best as she could, she would try to keep the correspondence going. I mean, it was really, really amazing. And I could go on, and she wouldn't want me to go on, and that's fine. But you know, everything that we're doing right now as we participate in this funeral service was something that she planned for us to experience today. She had pages upon pages of handwritten notes. And you know why she did that? Because she wanted to make it easier for us to plan this. She didn't want to be a burden, even in her death. And so she planned it all. She thought of it all. She took care of the ones who are taking care of this service today. But at the bottom of those notes, because, you know, there's a section where you have to say, you know, what are the things that you've accomplished and done over the years so that we can put an obituary together, you know? And she made sure to write at the bottom, it was a privilege. It was a privilege to serve my Lord and his people. A privilege to serve. That's how she saw it. And in the end, there's really one big reason why Alma spent her time taking care of others, and it's because she knew that she had first been taken care of by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he cared enough about her to come down from heaven and experience all kinds of unspeakable pain and suffering for her. And there were a few times I remember we would have a devotion together and we would talk about Christ on the cross, and she would stop me and she would say something like this. She would say, "Pastor, it's really hard for me to imagine what Jesus went through for me. And then sometimes I think, who am I that he would go through all of that for me. That, right there, that is what motivated her to then want to take care of others. Because she was first taken care of so well by her Lord. She knew the love of Christ in her life, and she wanted to share that love with everyone else around her. You take a look at the front page of the bulletin up at the top. Her confirmation verse is up there. It was given to her by Pastor Fuhler way back over 80 years ago in the class of 1940. And the words that she received that day are from Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 23, where he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So the Father and the Son will make their home with us. Or in other words, will promise to take care of us forever. And Alma really cherished that passage her whole life. But that's also something that's really important for us to hear on a day like today. Because most likely it's going to be a little while before we get to see Alma again and we get to talk with her again. We can't just go to the little yellow house around the corner anymore, and we can't just shoot her a text message every once in a while anymore. But that doesn't mean that we're left here on earth without someone to take care of us. We have Jesus. We have his gospel. We have his promise that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is right here among us, and he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. You can see this in the way that Jesus takes care of people in the midst of death in the gospel reading that Alma picked for us to read today. Among the people who had gathered, who were devastated because Lazarus had died, especially his sisters, Mary and Martha. And when Jesus is talking to Martha, what does he say? He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Jesus took care of Martha. Jesus took care of Alma. Jesus takes care of us too. And we know that because he is risen from the dead and is alive and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, that we can face anything. We can face anything that comes our way with confidence and with courage and with the peace that passes all understanding. We may not all be as good as Alma was at keeping track of all of the different blessings in our lives, and we probably won't ever have as sharp of a mind as she did, even at 95 years old. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we have the most important thing. We have eternal hope. We know that someday we will be reunited in heaven with Alma and with all of those that we love who have died in the faith, so that together we will be taken care of by our Lord for eternity. To God alone be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We turn now to the next hymn. It's number 563, and Alma wanted us to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 5.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Alma Mentor and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Alma and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is Abide With Me, number 878.